Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Wednesday morning. I'm so happy to be with you this morning. And if you tuned in Monday and were like, hey, where is she? I needed a mental health day. I just, you know, every once in a while, we all need a sick day from work. And so I took Mondays, and I apologize to my guest, and hopefully Lydia can come back again in a few weeks. But my ear was, you know, like those days where you're just a multiple of ouches. Like my ear was bothering me. So the idea of putting on headphones and being able, I couldn't even really hear that well out of the ear. And it just aches and pains and just not feeling myself, just needed a day with God. And what I did, if you're ever wondering how I spend my sick days, not on the couch watching television, though that was a draw for me, I spent it, excuse me. Yeah, there we go. See, I'm probably not much better right now, am I? Allergy season's kicking off here in the Northeast as the fall shows up. Anyway, I spent the day with God in my Bible. I'm writing a book, and the book requires lots of scripture. Just kind of looking at the characteristics of God that knock my socks off. So I decided to take the categories of that I was looking at, love and forgiving and goodness and generous, and just spend the day with my Bible. And after spending my day with my Bible, I felt so rejuvenated, so reconnected with God. I thought, that's got to be Wednesday's show. Wednesday's show has to be all about God's Word. And, well, it is. So that's what we're going to do today. My book this week is actually called Cleansed, a Catholic Guide to Freedom from Porn, Marcel Lejeune. He is going to be here on Friday talking about his book, and I will dive into that book tomorrow. Again, it's called Cleansed, but after Monday's marathon session with our Lord, I knew this is what I was supposed to do today. I'm going to share a story from several years ago. I had launched Reconcile to You Ministries. I did that in 2009. And it takes a while. I'm finding it takes a long while to get a ministry off the ground. I just keep following God's prompts and whatever He asks me to do. And at one point, I was actually on vacation. My aunt, uncle had very generously taken me and my entire family to Jamaica. Can you imagine? My gosh, we're so blessed. We had just adopted Faithy. We had her about a year, and they wanted to do something really special because they knew that we had pretty much exhausted all of our finances to bring her home, and I'd do it all over again, quite honestly, to bring her home to her forever family. And, you know, we got home from the trip, and actually it was during the trip I got a really strange message from somebody asking me to call them. They had a lead on a job that they thought I might like. Well, the lead turned out to be working for another Catholic radio station, not behind the microphone, but, well, behind a microphone at Masses every Sunday, fundraising for them. Kind of getting the word out that they existed in the Archdiocese of Boston and, you know, helping raise money and awareness. And it was fun. I loved it. And it definitely paid the bills for a little bit. They were very generous. Let's just say they were very generous. And it was wonderful getting out and meeting people. And one of the things I got to do was these side jobs every once in a while with the station manager. Her and I developed a fast friendship, and she took me with her on little you know, conferences and things. Well, this one was really fun. It was a charismatic conference, which I had never been to before. It was kind of an eye opener for me just to see people so enthusiastic for our Lord. They were singing and tambourines and dancing, and it's all approved by the church. It's all beautiful ways of expressing ourselves. Some of it a little over the top for me. I'm not ultra conservative, but I'm definitely not going to be dancing during the singing of the Psalms. That's another story. But after the conference, there was during the break of one of the conference, after the morning session, I should say, we were at a little table right outside this room. And there's a huge line of people going into this room. So, of course, nosy Allison has to ask, like, what is that? What's going on? And I was told it was called prophetic readings. Well, that didn't sound okay to me. I thought, okay, what have they brought me to? This doesn't sound okay. But if you read St. Paul's letters, there is such a thing as gift of prophecy. And usually it's used to just encourage, and it's always used. Let me rephrase that. It is always used to encourage the faithful in their faith. That's, it's not to foretell the future. It's not to win the lottery or contact the dead. That's not how that works. That's not approved by the church, but it's encouragement. There's a bigger word, exhortation. Exhortation, that might be the word. Anyway, to get people excited. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm not interested, but that's interesting. It was a huge long line. And I'm listening to this woman for about an hour, turn people away one after the other. I'm sorry, all our slots are filled. She keeps saying, I know how badly you want to go, but it just can only take so many people and the slots are filled. During the end of that time, I started to get this inspiration in my heart of the Spirit telling me they're going to have an opening, and she's going to come over and she's going to ask you to take it. I thought, that's weird. Okay, moving on. Few minutes later, oh, you guessed it. She came over to me and she said, I have an extra spot that I didn't expect to have, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is calling you to take it. Okay, well, I can't really ignore that. So my friend was like, yeah, go, you got to come. And she also was given a spot to get in line. And I had just been doing a lot of research about mediums and fortune tellers and how bad that was. And I'm getting very nervous thinking, oh my gosh, am I putting myself in danger? Should I not be doing this? And the woman comes over again and she said, I feel like I need to put you at ease and tell you that the Lord would never bring you to something that wasn't good for you or that he didn't want you to do. And I was like, okay, all right, I get it. I'm supposed to be here. And the Lord is up to something really cool. So basically how this works is that there at this place, there was a table with three women. One of them was Maria Fedalia, who's from Florida. She's a very famous, I guess that's the word I could use, charismatic. She does a lot of prophetic readings and a lot of speaking on the movement of the Holy Spirit and the charismatic movement. So I sit down. I don't even remember if I gave her my name or not. I just sit down. They know nothing about me. They've never met me. And it's like I said, the ministry was fledgling. And I was still trying to figure out what God was calling me to. And a few things, I wish I could find, I have a yellow piece of paper with all the notes of things they said that day. For some reason, I've lost it, but maybe St. Anthony can find it. But I do remember this. I remember Maria looking at me and she said, I see you just surrounded by many, many books. I said, just piles of books around you, which was funny back then because that's how I was. I always was reading, but it's even funnier in light of where God has brought me in the last 2 years, where I am like, really overrun, lovingly overrun by books. She takes her Bible and she slams it down on the table in front of me. And she said, but this is the book that God wants you in. This is where God wants you, in his word, in his book. And he is anointing you, she said, as a great teacher. He's anointing you as a great teacher, and his sphere will be your sphere. And she's taking her hands on this big round table, and she's making circular motions. His sphere will be your sphere, and he's sending you out and anointing you a great teacher. Well, it was overwhelming to me because she had no idea who I was and that I was looking to be God's hands and feet and his mouth in the world, and how much I love scripture and how that had been the catalyst of my reversion. Like, I had always been a Catholic. I was born Catholic, but I didn't know Christ. I didn't have a relationship with Christ because I never knew that the scriptures were available. There are God's living word, dynamic, breathing, speaking to me. That the liturgy, when I go to Mass, is God speaking to me. It's the first and second, the third, the first and second readings are from scripture. The Psalms are from the Bible, and the Gospels, of course. I kind of knew that was scripture, but I didn't really know what that meant. And I was like 30 something years old, and I had no idea that my faith, my Catholic faith, was so scriptural. It was so ground in God's word. And so yesterday, as I was spending time in God's word, and I was also, well, yesterday, Monday, also doing my, still working on my 54-day rosary novena, walking and praying the rosary and thinking about what God is calling me to do and who he's called me to be, I was drawn to Luke's gospel and this idea that we are called by God, and he will put things on our hearts and give us a message of what he wants from us and who he's calling us to be. And this is the scripture that just kept rolling around in my head. And it's from Luke's gospel, Luke 1, and it's 45. And it says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And of course, this is talking about Mary, and Elizabeth is saying this to Mary at the visitation, that blessed is Mary who believes that what God has told her is going to be fulfilled. But the thing about scripture that I am learning as I get to know it more is that there is a teaching of the scripture that the Catholic faith gives us to grow us in our understanding of God and our faith. But there's also this private ability to spend time with God's word. We come back from these messages. We're going to look more at the scriptures. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm talking today about scripture. I just felt that we needed a scripture show. It's a book about, a show about books, and there is no better book ever, and there will be no better book ever than the Bible, than the Holy Bible. And yesterday, Monday, I did a little bit too, my day with my favorite Bible, which is the Didache Bible. It's from Ignatius Press. It is commentaries based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I wrote a blog several years ago called 10 Reasons I'm Changing My Bible. And that is when I adopted the Didache Bible as my favorite. There are many, you should see me. I have about 7 different versions of the Bible. And then if I can't find what I'm looking for there, I go to BibleGateway.com and start reading there. But the commentaries I'm very careful about. I want to make sure that I'm getting the Catholic perspective, that I'm getting the Catholic teaching. But as I was saying before the break last segment, was the thing that I didn't know about the Bible, is that there is a private, beautiful message that the Lord has for each and every one of us when we read it. There's the general overview message, the teaching of the church, but there's also that private revelation that God makes to each and every one of us as we are reading it. God is directing and guiding us. So I wanted to share with you just some of my favorites, since I feel that God has called me to spend time in his word and to share it then I need to do this more often. So I thought I would start with the Psalms. Well, just a Psalm. So we're going to look at Psalm 37, 3 through 4. Psalm 37, 3 through 4. And it reads, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and be nourished in safety. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Then just read that last one. "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I discovered that Bible verse during the adoption of my daughter, Faithy, when I started to feel this call to adopt. I think I've shared this before, that it wasn't an infertility problem, though my pregnancies were a nightmare. I had two preemies and two miscarriages, one ectopic that nearly took my life because it was in my abdomen and I nearly bled to death. So not good things came from my pregnancies, but I was still always open to God's will, to life, whatever God wanted. And so around 2007, the Lord started talking to Kevin and I in our prayers and in our hearts and through different circumstances that we were called to pray, to adopt. And one of the strange things about this adoption is I knew that Faith would be deaf. I was just knew in my prayers that she would be deaf. And I remember sharing this with somebody and they're like, "That is so weird. Like, why would you want your child to have a disability? Like, why would you do that?" And I thought, okay, first of all, I'm adopting, so she already has it. It's not like she's already out there somewhere. Why not give her a home? Especially when I had been to the registration kind of orientation night, I guess is what I'm looking for. And so many of those people there, couples had no children, and I could tell from their conversations they weren't going to be open to a child with a disability. God had already blessed us with two boys, relatively healthy boys, and so why not be open? And we're given a checklist, honestly. It's the weirdest thing. You're given a list, and you just, check off all the disabilities you're willing to be open to in a child. And I just knew she'd be deaf. And my mom shared with me this story, and I sort of half remembered it, but she definitely brought it fully to my memory, that in like eighth grade, I came home from school and I said, "I want to adopt someday, and I want to adopt somebody that is quote unquote undoptable," was the words I used. And then a few months later, they started to teach sign language in school, and I signed up for it. And I came home and I said to my mom, "I want a deaf child." And she's like, "Well, that's sweet, but there's no deaf in our family, in our history. So the odds of that happening are about as good as you having twins. Like, it doesn't exist." I said, "Well, I don't know. I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do." So, I hadn't put the two stories together. It was much later that I went, "Hey," but this scripture taught me that I wasn't insane. That desire on my heart to have a deaf child and to adopt were put there by God, and I believe were put there by God, so that when it came time as an adult to make this choice, I would say yes, because God was fulfilling that desire of my heart. I delighted myself in him. I spent time in his word. I went and participated in the sacraments. I spent time in prayer talking with him. I delighted myself in the Lord and all the gifts that he has to give me. I wanted to be with him. And then he fulfilled the delights of he gave me the desires of my heart. I want to use the words from the scriptures, not Allison's abridged version, which is most of the scripture you're going to get from me. And then that ties directly into the one I read from Luke's gospel in the first segment. "Blessed is she who believed that what was spoken to her would be fulfilled." Just see how scripture all kind of brings itself together, entangles itself in our hearts and in our souls to teach us, to guide us, to lead us. God did not just create us, drop us here, and just disappear. What I love so much about the scriptures is that it teaches me God's heart. It reveals to me the God of the universe who created me, who put me here, and who didn't just abandon me. And just something that really funny that happened on Monday. So as I've been sharing, having a lot of anxiety, my hypochondria is kind of out of control right now. And I know you could say, well, just go to the doctor and you'll see you're okay. But you don't understand. I just was at the doctor not even 2 months ago, and I was told everything was fine. And now I'm feeling it, and things come and they go, and there's no pain. It's just, I can tell. And I pray, I always say to the Lord, tell me where I need to be. You know, and the next thing I know, instead of calling yesterday, I'm going to tell you the story about Monday in a second, but yesterday was the same thing, kind of feeling like, oh, should I call the doctor? What is this? Is it bad? And the next thing I know, I said, you know, Lord, just put me where I need to do. And the next thing I know, I've created this whole great blog about small groups and how you could facilitate them. You go to reconciledtoyou.com if you're curious to know some tips and tricks for leading a small group Bible study or faith sharing. And then, you know, none of my symptoms were there. I was like fine for the rest of the day. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. But Monday, when I was spending the day in God's word, there was a moment where I was reading something on the left of the page, and I just stopped for a minute, kind of leaned back, was just in prayer and conversation with God. And I said, Lord, just for a minute, I would love just a minute of peace and, you know, not to let all of this fear about being sick and dying, just letting that go, because I feel like that's not where I don't feel like that's my cross right now. I really feel like my cross is my anxiety and battling that so that I'm more fully there for you, God, to do what you're asking me to do. And just as I finished that sentence, I looked down at the top of the right side of the page, which I had not gotten to yet. And it was just these three little words or four little words staring at me. And it just says, you will live. It's like, okay, I can't make that stuff happen, but this stuff does happen again and again and again when I spend time in God's word, when I open up my Bible. Now, I could have been on my phone, on the Kindle version of the Bible, and maybe that would have happened, but there's just something about holding a physical Bible with pages in your hand, and God just does the craziest, funniest things, and that one really gave my heart a lot of peace, and I actually laughed out loud. I thought, you're so funny. Like, we have a sense of humor because God has a sense of humor. We're made in his likeness and his image, and we have his characteristics, and one of them is laughter. It's truly laughter. And this reminded me of Jeremiah 29:11, which I will read now in the last 2 minutes of the segment. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Yes. Yes, that's where the name of, well, that was one of the places that my the show's name came from, A Seeking Heart. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations in all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Isn't that beautiful? Like, I've heard of Jeremiah 29:11 before. It's on all the Christian bookmarks and mugs. And that was all I ever read. And one of the things about opening a real Bible, sitting with the paper Bible, is that sometimes the Spirit calls you to read on. And if I had never opened this, I would have never known that I will call upon him and he will come and pray to me and I will hear him, seek and I will find. And that's also in the New Testament. But how beautiful, Jeremiah, who was a young man who didn't think he had anything to offer. And the Lord has said, yes, I will put the words in your mouth. We come back, we'll read more of the scriptures. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so excited this morning to be sharing with you the Word of God. One of the things that I did not know when I was just a lukewarm Catholic, kind of just going through the motions, was that the Word of God is God is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, and He is the Word made flesh. And I think that is so cool, but I don't know why I never learned it, why no one ever taught it. Maybe it's because I never looked at John's Gospel. Right at the beginning, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," capitalized. You think, why is that capitalized? Oh, because the Word is referring to something divine, a divinity of some sort. In this case, the Word is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if you read, commentaries are the best. Like, it is great to read Scripture, and it's great to read Scripture for how it's going to enlighten your heart, easy for me to say. It's going to touch your heart. But you also, to understand it all the more fully, you need to also use a commentary. So that's why, again, I love the Didache Bible from Ignatius Press. I also use a study Bible, not from Ignatius. I'm not sure who it's from. Xenophon, maybe? There's lots of great ones out there. If you need any recommendations, you know where you can find me. You can always go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. You can ask me there. You can send me an email anytime, allison@breadboxmedia.com. I'm always here for you. Book recommendations, scripture recommendations, Bible recommendations, whatever you need, prayers. I'm going this evening. I'll get back to the scriptures in just a minute. I got to share this before I forget. I am going this evening to venerate Padre Pio's heart. His relic is in Boston. I know this sounds insane. Every time I talk about venerating relics, going to the saints and spending time in prayer and veneration, I use that word because, one, that's what it is, and I don't want anyone to get confused and think I'm out there worshiping anybody but God. A veneration is just an honor that they're there with you. You ask for their intercession. You go. We have these great saints, these cloud of witnesses, the scripture tells us, this great cloud of witnesses in heaven who intercede for us, who are with God, and to be able to just touch a piece of them. Now, I'm not going to actually touch his heart. We're pretty savvy in the Catholic Church to put them in these fancy-dancy holders, reliquaries, or there's another word for it, but we'll go with that one for now. And you touch it, and I've been able to venerate Padre Pio's glove. It was just actually in a plastic bag. Nothing fancy that day, but I touched my necklace to it, and I wear that every day, and the most miraculous things have happened, I believe, through the intercession of Padre Pio, Maria Goretti, St. Paul, John Paul II. I was able to touch the vial of his blood and pray there with him. Just, I know it's at St. Teresa of Calcutta, just got to venerate her relic. Either a piece of clothing or in John Paul's case, blood, Padre Pio's heart. Now, I know that sounds pretty weird, but I'm telling you, until you've done this, until you've spent time in prayer in the presence of a saint, you can't know how incredible this is. I feel like today, I'm going to go to hopefully get to confession this afternoon before I go. I feel like God is calling me there. The Holy Spirit's calling me. The Padre Pio is calling me there because he wants to do something miraculous within my heart, my own heart, as I go. And I just realized that as I was saying the word, that going to venerate his heart, I feel like the Lord's going to do something very miraculous and special in my heart, a change of heart. Maybe he'll heal my my anxiety. Though I was laughing yesterday, one of the symptoms that I've been fighting is this, not a pain in my side, but just, you know, I have chronic back pain and it travels. And so there's like this, just this ache, I guess is the word. It's not really a pain or ache. It's just this feeling, I don't know, on my side. And I thought about St. Paul and in the letter to the Corinthians, he said, you know, three times I asked the Lord to remove this thorn from my side, and it made me laugh. I'm like, here's my thorn and it's not going away. Maybe the Lord's not going to remove it because he didn't remove Paul's, because it kept Paul reliant on God. It was reliant on God's grace. It kept him humble. And humility is a very important part of being a follower, a disciple of Christ. We need to be humble. We need to rely on God's grace. We can't think that we're the ones doing it. But perhaps this is just going to strengthen me for the journey God has, whatever that is, whether it is to go forth and be a great teacher of his scriptures, or of, you know, being anointed as a great teacher, as Maria Fadala told me in that prophetic reading, or if it is, you know, to be sick sometime and to be able to go through that with grace and dignity and to hold tight to God. I don't know. I don't know God's plans, but I know, as Jeremiah tells me, that he's got plans for my good and not for my woe. So from a hope in a future, and I'm going to, maybe I need strength to hope instead of being so stuck in my fear and my anxiety, and to see that God is with me and that God loves me. I don't know, but I'm really, really excited to go tonight and to venerate this great saint who I really feel like is my spiritual father. You know, he called for us to be his spiritual children. He asked us to allow him to do that. And I just think that the fact that he shares my biological father's birthday is a godsend. Like, that's pretty cool. There's 365 days that, or 366 if he was a leap year baby, that they could have shared, yet, you know, that he could have had, and yet they share a birthday. So tonight when I go, I'll bring your prayers with me. If you have any special requests, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. I'd really love to know also how you feel about this show. I'm thinking about making a scripture show part of my monthly, or maybe more often, here on A Seeking Heart. Let me know if you like this, if you prefer we stick with the book format and the interviews. Let me know. Allison@breadboxmedia.com. And anytime, again, on Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook page, you can leave messages there. You can make sure you like it, share it. Help me get the word out that we're here every day, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and we really, really want to bring God to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, to you. And I really need your help to help me spread the word. Also, if you don't mind thinking about becoming a friend of the show, go to breadboxmedia.com. For $10 more a month, you become a premium member and you get a choice of a prayer squirrel or a rosary bracelet made by me, extra entries in our giveaway, and you can come to our monthly Google Hangouts and so much more. And you are always, always included in my prayers without even having to ask me for my thanksgiving of you helping support A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras by becoming friend of the show, breadboxmedia.com, for more information. We were talking about the Word became flesh. So why study Scripture? What does Scripture do? Scripture, Jesus is the Word made flesh. Oh, I was going to read this to you. So the commentary from the Didache Bible, in the beginning. So the gospel begins by revealing the divinity of Christ, who is the eternal Word of God. The Word, capitalized, the Word, from all eternity, so he is the Word. From all eternity, God the Father generated the Word, who is the divine person of God the Son. And it was through the Word that he created the universe. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This verse reveals the doctrine of the Trinity. The Word, who is God the Son, is of the same substance as God the Father, yet distinct from God the Father in regards to his sonship. I love that it's mystery. I love that I could read that 100,000 times and it is never going to completely make sense. That's what faith is about. Faith is a gift that helps us to believe in things beyond ourselves. Like, I want to know God and have the hope that is beyond myself. I am just a mere mortal, and to think that there's nothing beyond today or this world, what an existence that would be. But I hope in God. And when I spend time with the Word, with Jesus in prayer and sacrament and scripture, the grace that flows from that is such an enormous gift, and it brings me closer. And as I grow closer to him through prayer, sacrament, and scripture, God grows closer to me and my heart grows in peace. And even though it sometimes gets a little rattled when I spend time with God, I know that he is real, and that helps bring peace. Like, I have so much peace today. I know, because I spent time with him, just entrenched in his word, being reminded of who he is and what he does for me. And this afternoon, as I go to adoration, I will then spend time physically with him there in adoration when heaven and earth collide in the presence of the Eucharist. And then tonight, that special treat of being able to spend time with Padre Pio, just deep in prayer, venerating his heart and asking God to change my heart. We have one more segment, and I hope you will stay tuned for it. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking today about scripture, and I can't talk about scripture without giving a little plug to my friend Sonia Corbett. Easy for me to say this morning. She is known as the Bible Evangelista, and her show, Pursuing the Summit, is here on Breadbox Media on the weekends, and you can also go to her website. I'm going to be sharing a link to it, so it's Sonia Corbett, Bible Evangelista. She was here to talk about her book, whose name just went out of my head. Oh, well, it'll come back to me. That's terrible. She's got a new book coming out called Fearless, and I think that's why I can't think of her other book. But Fearless is coming out, and she's going to be here next month. Very excited. Sonia Corbett, she's all about the scriptures and very inspiring to listen to, Sonia Corbett. So just one last on why the scriptures and why we turn to them. It's in Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Do you see how I seem to be very much drawn to the word heart? Oh, and Sonia's book is called Unleashed. I knew it would come to me. Unleashed. But I'm really, just that whole idea of the heart. You know, we meet God in our heart, where we are, our body needs our hearts to be alive. And how our hearts can be broken and our hearts can be drawn to somebody. And it's all about the heart. And my heart is always seeking God. Therefore, I have a seeking heart. And I'm glad that you also have a seeking heart and that you joined me here daily, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, or over at breadboxmedia.podbean.com for the podcast. I'm just so grateful for you, and I really, truly enjoy our time together. If you ever have any questions, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. Or comments, I suppose. I paused for a second because I was like, is this what I want? Yes, this is exactly what I want. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. I thought I'd end with today's show with sharing scriptures that have to do with anxiety. These are four of my favorite worry scriptures, and I wanted to share them with you. They make me smile. They encourage me. They lift me up. And I spend a lot of time with them. And they're probably the only ones I have absolutely memorized by heart. But today, I'm going to read them. So Matthew 6:25, the heading for in my Bible, the Didache Bible, says, "Do not be anxious. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor your body, what you should put on. Is not life more than food?" Yeah, sometimes. "And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither reap nor sow nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one moment to his lifespan?" Let's stop there for a second. How many of you, it says, think you can change your lifespan by worrying? Like, can you worry yourself well? Can you worry yourself from the inevitable of your death? Can you change anything by worrying? Like, we think we can. We think, oh, I worried about that, and look, I found a solution, or, you know, God changed his mind. Like, worry and prayer, worry and discernment, not the same thing. Worrying is when I spend the entire day on mayoclinic.com. That's worrying. I'm not changing anything. I'm not adding a moment. In fact, I've taken away from the gift of my life that God has given me. When I instead get my butt outside and walk and talk with God and pray, not only am I bringing solution by perhaps becoming a healthier version of myself, but I've brought it to prayer, and I've filled the time with God and his grace and his love. And it's definitely a better time of use of my time. It reminds me that God is there with me always, that he is providing and all my needs. Like last November, so worried about money, I could have spent hours in worry. Instead, I brought it to prayer. I went and I prayed the rosary, which I know some people think is this boring, old-fashioned, fuddy-duddy, for my grandmother prayer. But I'm telling you, there is power in that prayer and holding those rosaries, in bringing all of your doubts and anxieties and needs, petitions to the Lord through our Blessed Mother. It's a contemplative prayer. It's actually a meditative prayer where we meditate upon the life of God, of Jesus. It grows us an understanding of who he is, and then therefore we can help model him. There's a lot more happening with that rosary than just saying an Our Father and a Hail Mary. However, nothing wrong with those two things. But I used to always think this was the most boring, trite prayer, and I would avoid it. But now it's part of my everyday, and I am so grateful that it is, because one thing about worrying that maybe you've experienced is that it stops my brain from really being able to do what it needs to do. And I can't always formulate prayer, which is exactly what I need when I'm worried. Here's another one of my favorites from Philippians 4:6-7. "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication," another word from that is petition, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So through prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God, and then we believe, as Mary did, as Elizabeth told Mary, blessed is she who believes what has been foretold will be fulfilled. God says, pray and don't worry. Then we believe, I'm going to pray and God's going to take care of this and I don't need to worry. Yes, there's going to need to be some reminding of ourselves of that. That's why I spend so much time in these, because I read it and then I forget it. And then I have to reread it. There's another one that I love from 1 Peter. I thought I'd 1 Peter 5:7, which basically says, well, I can find it real quick. I don't know how I lost it. Oh, here we go. Cast all your anxieties on him, for he cares about you. Cast all your anxieties. Well, my husband's a fisherman. So when I think about casting, I think about taking my fishing rod and throwing it out and then reeling it back in. But Peter wasn't that kind of fisherman. Peter used a net. Peter would take the net, throw it over the side, cast the net, and then let Jesus do let God do the work. Like, and then if you think about the scene in the Bible where Jesus comes upon the boat and they say, he says, are you catching anything? And they say, no. And he says, cast to the other side. And that's kind of like, do something different than what you've been doing. And they're like, we've been fishing all day. And who are you to tell us? You're no fisherman. You're a carpenter. You can't help. He said, well, try something different. Cast to the side of the boat. So they cast and they sit back and they let God do the work. Well, that's kind of what Peter's telling us. Well, it's more than what kinda. It is what Peter's telling us. Cast all your anxieties and cares and worries on God because he loves you. He cares about you and he wants to take care of it for you. He doesn't want you to take the fishing rod and cast out and reel in and cast out and reel in. He says, just give it to me and I will do it for you. The last one I want to share for today is 1 John. So John not only wrote Gospels, he also wrote letters. And 1 John 5:16-18 is one of my absolute favorites. So we know and believe, and there's another version that says, we have come to know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we with the world. Because as he is, so are we with the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. God is love. God is perfect love. And time with him will cast out all your fears and your worries. I hope you have enjoyed this special show today of the book that I think we need to spend more time in, and that I'm so grateful that God has reminded me of that in his word, in the Holy Bible. And I think that we need to do more of these shows. Let me know. Take a visit over at Allison@breadboxmedia.com. Go to reconciledtoyou.com. You can click on the contact me information there. Let me know what scriptures that you need to help you with your current circumstances. What prayers do you have? Let me bring them with me to adoration. Let me always take you with me in prayer out of my gratitude for your time with me here each day, 10 a.m. Eastern on Breadbox Media. That's where I am. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.